Hello, everybody. My name is Ms. Parker from RV Project Help. And this chat is a security brush up for those of you that might want to learn a little bit about security issues and things you might need to consider when you become a high wealth individual. Please know that this is for entertainment only, and it's not meant to be taken as any kind of business information. This is information from my personal life, and some of it, fair warning, is going to get raw because I'm going to explain to you in detail why some of these things are really important and give real life experiences about what has happened to me. I do this not to scare you. I do this because I want you aware. And it's better to learn from somebody else's mistakes than to do the mistakes yourself. And from that purely entertainment point is how I do these videos. Again, my name is Ms. Parker from RV Project Help. And here's my chat on security. So one of the things about the cannabis industry that is really good and really annoying is that you can make a tremendous amount of money. However, you can also have the feds, the federal branch of the government, walk in your house and take all that money right out. And it's given me a really unique point of view on wealth and being a high wealth individual, and then being a broke individual, and then going back up and down. I've been in that status 3 times in my life. And so been there, done that. I got the ribbon. But this time is different. This time it's different because what we're doing is completely legal. And what we're going to do is we're truly going to help the world repair itself. You didn't drop in here by accident, folks. There are so few of us that want to do humanitarian projects, and even less of us that have any understanding about what is about to happen. So there's a few of us that are doing these classes, and we do them for one reason only, and that's to take away any chance that the deep state can get their hands on any of these kind of humanitarian projects that will really help people. So God bless you, and thank you for being here. So I want to tell you the first time I ever got a big check. My first big check was $15 million. And while you think you know what you're going to do, the other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you a lot of real shit because I'm going to tell you about stuff that people that have this kind of money don't ever talk about because it's embarrassing. Okay. So, I got my pipe here because I'm pretty sure I'm going to be scarlet by the time I'm done. I usually am every single time I do one of these chats, because some of this stuff's embarrassing. What they don't want you to do when you get that check is they don't want you to pass out. They're going to actually have doctors there. I know they will, even though nobody has ever said that. I know at when I've gone for unicorn ass, where the money is like 500 million, I've had clients flat pass out on me. They get so shocked that it happened that they just freaking hyperventilate and pass out. Okay. So even though I knew this, and even though I knew, oh no, you've got to be good. You've got to keep your feet underneath of you. You got to know that it's adrenaline is what it is. It's major adrenaline. And you get the check and you're doing good. Your heart's going, blah, 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 blah. It's like pounding through your ears. And then all of a sudden it's like they stuck a pin in the balloon and you just fall. It's the adrenaline goes away. And so You have to be aware that some of the most hardest drop of adrenaline that you're going to get is the first time you get told how much money you're going to have. Okay. The reason why I'm talking about this is at some point in your RV, they're going to give you numbers. And I don't know if that point is going to be before they tell you how much money you have or after. They may tell you the total amount after you do the pitch, after you do all the other things that you're going to be doing there for the exchange, or they might put you into the De La Rue, count you, and then tell you stuff. But the most important thing is to know that this happens, to be aware of it. Because if you are aware that the possibility is high that you're going to get a massive adrenaline drop, then you can be ready for it. And being ready is half the battle. So, one of the things you need to do for instant security is understand that this is common. This is super common. The first time somebody gets a big check, it's like their brain goes right out their window. So if somebody tells you about this, then you have a much better shot at not letting it get to you. And at some point, you're going to have the numbers, how much currency you have, and then they're going to ask you how much, what different rates you're going to want. If you don't know those answers, they're going to know you don't have the skill set to do this. And the thing is, folks, everybody has the skill set to do it if they know the tricks, okay? So I'm going to talk to you about security, and I'm also going to talk to you about tricks and information that will help you. Because when you determine security, you have to determine your exposure, okay? So your first exposure is right when you get told about the number. So be aware of it. And don't just be aware of it. Add up your currency and figure you got 10 times more than what your currency is. Go look at this here. Let me play this. Take this thing. This is the coolest little trick. Hold on a minute. Let's go over here to desktop. Boom, bada boom, bada boom. Exchange process. No, cancel. That's the wrong one. Oh, there we go. RV redemption. Money coming. Is that the right one? Yeah, money coming. And this. This is the handiest little cheat sheet ever. Okay. So that's how to read and write large numbers. So once you know the number of what all your total is, add up your total currency. I don't know. I don't need anybody to tell me what it is now. Add up your total currency, write it down, get this file and print it, and then look to see what you have. And then say the word. If you have over 100 bills, there's a high possibility that you're going to be in the quintillion or possibly the quadrillion range, depending on if it's all Zim or whatever. 200 bills, yeah, you're probably hitting there. So what you need to do is you need to say that word, okay? So look at your bills, look at your zeros, count your zeros, and you figured out, oh my stars, I'm in the trillions, okay? So then practice the word. I am 40,619,412,010,102. Say it. Go in the bathroom and say it. And say it over and over and over. Say the whole word, whatever that total addition is. And it doesn't matter if you're wrong. What you're doing is you're desensitizing yourself so that when you get that big number, you don't have that adrenaline drop. That's your first security. That's your first step, is to protect your brain so that you can think during your entire RV, okay? So I know it sounds silly, but there's something about verbalizing an action that helps you stay on point of the action. So I know it sounds silly, but try it. Having this kind of wealth is going to cause you to have security issues that you have possibly never considered. And there are solutions that you can use for some of these issues that nobody will tell you about. And some of the solutions are very, very simple. Some of them are very, very pretty, and all of them are pretty, pretty workable. So if you have never experienced the kind of wealth that movie stars, sports heroes, and the elite have, you may think to yourself, I would never trade my soul for that kind of money. And if and some people think that's what being wealthy means. Many people, wealth means you're in the public eye. Whether or not you are, wealth equates to power. Wealth equates to notoriety. Wealth equates to influence. The money, well, if you don't control the money will control you, I guarantee that. The money becomes secondary to power, notoriety, and influence. Because you work so hard to achieve this. What happens after the money is your status and your image has to be maintained. And often it's from greed and indifference and not love and through love and compassion. And that's the biggest reason why the deep state went down the dark hole that they went down. But if you're in here listening, your wealth will be based on a humanitarian perspective. And there's no real room in a humanitarian perspective for ego. There's going to be people that are going to surprise you, who are going to want to take away your money and plot against you. And sometimes, unfortunately, it's the very people that you trust. So you end up walking a fine line of trying to figure out who do I trust, who's out to get me, who's got an agenda, and who doesn't. So I'm going to make a suggestion and take it or leave it. It's just a suggestion. It's difficult because usually at this stage when I'm working with a group, they've already heard other recordings. And I'm realizing now that I may have done you a disservice by doing this out of line. But that the thing that you're not going to realize is that changing the way you live and think can cause you to get really paranoid. And if you do this, for me, so let me go backwards. So I have some friends that have called me every name in the book because I believe Trump is still our president and we're going to RV. My own daughters did an what's it called? An intervention. They told me I needed mental health because I still believe that Trump is president. So you guys are all probably laughing at this point. You probably have friends that do this same thing. And you may have friends that are so freaking mad at you that they won't talk to you now. So there ends up being two kinds of friends in your life. And there's nothing you can do to stop what's about to happen to you. There's nothing because it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the money. And this is one of those dirty, dirty, dirty little secrets that the wealthy have. Not the wealthy that were born into it, but the nouveau riche like us, okay? You end up with two sets of friends. The set of friends that you had when you were poor and the set of friends that you will have when you are wealthy. The set of friends that you have when you are wealthy, if they came up with you, if you all got wealth at the same time, and you all know that you all pretty much have the same currency, you know, whatever, there's no agenda. And what I mean by that is, Rick, I'm going to use you. I hope you don't mind. Say, Rick and I, we're friends. We've been friends for years. And Rick and I get on loggerheads. You know, screw you, Parker. You don't know what you're talking about. Trump's still, you know, Biden's our president. No, I'm not going to get currency. You're crazy. If he does that, and if I do nothing, what will happen is we'll go to the currency RV, and Rick will realize he's wrong. And Rick is brainwashed by the media. He can't help what he's thinking. And even though you are fully aware that Rick is going to fall on his face when this all comes done, there's nothing you can do to change his mind because he's brainwashed. So if you do nothing when you go up, I use that term go up, go down, have wealth and, you know, get wealthy, lose all your wealth. Okay, go up, go down. If I do nothing, Rick is going to feel like an asshole for being so hard-headed about telling me that Biden's my president, that he can't fix it because he can't go spend the $100, $5, $20 to get a piece of Bolivar or to get a Zim because it's over. So I will lose that friendship forever because I can try to keep it. And I've done this, folks. I've done this over and over and over. It's freaking heartbreaking. It is the only terrible, terrible thing about being wealthy. It's what I'm telling you right now. And it is soul killing, okay? I will never be able to be friends with Rick again, even though he's my best friend since high school. Because what will happen is, Rick, I got you. Come on out. We're going to go to the beach for the day. Come on out. We're going to go to this $500 plate dinner. I got you. I'll pay for it. I pay for it. Rick, come here. Come here. Well, Park, I can't do that. I'm working. Oh, it's okay. I'll pay for it. You will get to the point of paying for everything that Rick is going to be mad that he has to ask you for money and help all the time. Especially if Rick, I'm not saying that you're not a guy, Rick, I'm just saying, just don't want to offend you. But especially if Rick is a girl, excuse me, if Rick is a guy. Because men, like real men, they don't like it when they're getting handouts every day. They don't like it. They'll go along with the program for a while. But after a while, man's got to do what a man's got to do, and I'm nobody's bitch. That's usually where they go to. And that's the kind of guy you want to be around anyway. So you can't blame him. He gets mad at you because he's not wealthy. And there's nothing you can do to fix it. There's nothing you can do to fix the situation. So what happens is eventually you guys just quit seeing each other. And besides, you're going to Paris next week and Rick can't get a week off, okay? That's one way. So the other way, Rick's my friend for years and years. He tells me, fuck off, Parker. You're stupid. You don't know what you're doing. And I think Rick's my friend. Rick's worth keeping. No matter if Rick is an idiot right now, that one day I know he's going to wake up. So what I'm going to do is I know that this money situation will be a problem. I'm going to go buy a 10 trillion Zim, or if I got like five Ricks, I'm going to buy
10 trillion for each one of them, or just a small trillion, or I'm gonna go buy two or three Bolivar, and I'm gonna put Rick's name on the letter, and I'm gonna drop in a gift letter, so that when this happens, I can literally go to Rick and go, Rick, I'm not gonna give you $40 million, but what's in this envelope cost me $5. And even though we've had words, I know we've had words because you don't know what happened, and I do. And I don't want you to get left behind. So in this letter is all the information you're going to need to redeem this bill that's in this letter. And I can't help you after this. So you can either read this letter and come do the cool things I'm going to do, or you can just tear this letter away and we're going to lose our friendship. And what they will do is they will take the letter and they will go redeem that letter. And I'm telling you, it's different. It's different. It's different. It's different. It's different giving somebody $5 rather than giving somebody $20 million. Because when you give away $20 million, you got a case of the ass about it. No matter if you tell yourself, oh, I'm not going to get upset, you will. You'll be resentful. But you will never, 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 never be resentful of giving your friend $5, $10. Even if he's being a shit to you, you guys are lifelong friends. Do you guys understand what I'm talking about? If you understand what I'm talking about, just open up your mic and say yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. So I urge you, you do not want to be wealthy by yourself. You don't. It sucks. It's really lonely, okay? So if you've got a friend or two that you're sideways with and they will not buy currency, or it might not be a friend, it might be your sister, it might be your brother, whoever it is that's important to you and you don't want to lose them, go buy currency. Do just one or two pieces, buy a high value piece, and just wait. And I'll drop here that gift letter that I've been sending around you guys. That's the gift letter. I'll put it in here. Hold on, let me put it in here. And that's all you need to do. And then it's on them. You don't want it to be on you, because you don't ever want to be responsible for them to get the money. Because once you're responsible for them to get the money, that's when you start feeling like stuff's not okay. Okay? So there's the one page for friends. So if you want to do that, there's the information for you. Okay. So that's a really big thing. I usually do a whole talk on that. But you don't want to go up alone, okay? If you are so pissed with your family members or your friends, I urge you to make friends with the people that you know here in the channel. Or talk about what you're going to do, your humanitarian project in here. If you are just sick to death of your family, you got to have one friend, just one, from before and at, before we started. Because otherwise, I'm telling you folks, it's awful. It's awful, awful, awful. The first time I went up, I cried almost every day. And because if you tell people, oh, I feel bad because I'm rich and I don't have any friends, people that are not rich are going to go, fucking bitch. I mean, they're not going to get it. They're going to be pissed and they're going to look at you like you're a dirt bag for being so petty. That's not the real world. And the other part of this is when you become wealthy, you think, this one is a burn, you think
that other wealthy people are going to be your friends instantly because you're wealthy. Oh, hell no. No, they hate you. They hate you bad. They are waiting for you to fall on your face so they can laugh at you. And then maybe they might be your friend. But no, it's super hard to make friends with high wealth individuals. They're scared shitless of everybody. You will become too, and you'll understand it after you get the money, because you don't want anybody to get too close to you, because you've already had half your friends and all your family begging for money, and you feel like, what am I, the bank of Parker? You know, it's awful. Okay, so you just start putting up these walls and you don't even realize you do it, but so do they. So because of that, they don't know you're wealthy. They've been scammed out of a dozen different people that were also nouveau rich that came and met them, and hey, I've got this, that, and the other. No, you don't. And they get scammed. So they're terrified of you, okay? It's really hard, super hard, to make friends with high wealth individuals. So in order to be a friend, in order to make a friend, you have to be a friend. So you have to spend time. You have to spend time at events, okay? So people see you, so people get to know you. So people see you can't go, like, I'm gonna go to the Fort Lauderdale boat show, the yacht show, okay? The tickets to get into that thing is, I think, $1,500 all said and done. When you get your wealth management team, nobody is going to tell you this, okay? When you get your wealth management team, you tell them, look, I want to go to events that the ticket price to get in is $1,000. So if it's, tell me what kind of conferences you can find something that you like, and make sure the only thing is the ticket price to get in has to be at least $1,000. Why? Because you are siphoning off those that have from those that do not. Okay? You want to be away from people that are going to bug you for money. So you got to have high wealth friends. And it's just, it's not being an asshole. It's just a function of what happens. Okay? And nobody tells you this. And so You're just butt hurt for months because all your friends can't go play with you, your real friends that you've had for years and years, and you don't have any new friends yet because they look at you like you got the epizooty because they don't know you. So it's just that really, really difficult time that sucks. I mean, I've done this three times, and every time I go, oh, this time I'm going to do it this way. Oh, this time I'm going to do it this way. No. What I'm telling you right now is the only way it works. You have to take them up with you. Otherwise, they will be gone. So if you've got somebody in your life that you have to be around because X, Y, and Z is around them, then guess what? That's not going to happen anymore. You have to be around them because the wealth alone will take you to a different stratus. Okay? And it's not just wealth, it's power. Depending on what you want to do. Okay? Some people in my channel have enough wealth that they're going to do multiple country projects. Okay. Multiple country. I'm going to tell you this and people are going to go, oh, she's lying. No, I'm not lying. I don't lie about this shit. There's no need to, because it's too fucking cool. So while we're talking, let's get this. So I am working with the country of Lesotho, and I'm going to show you who I'm working with because nobody ever believes it. Cannabis is going to be legalized worldwide, and what people don't realize is that we are born with an endocrine system and a cannabinoid system, and people don't know why. Okay. The reason why you don't know why is because it's against federal and state law to teach any student, high school or college, about your endocannabinoid system. And it's absolutely against the law to teach them what I'm about to tell you right now. All of you remember in science classes where you learned about your DNA and you learned about how the DNA worked, where it's in a little cell, and every little cell that you have
splits every 21 days, and it starts from the DNA, and it makes a duplicate cell, and at just the right time, it splits, and it makes two cells. Everybody remembers that, right? Not one of you can tell me what was the thing that caused the DNA to soften. That little piece of information will get a teacher put in jail. The thing that causes the DNA to soften so that your cells will actually split and do the magnificent thing that it does is CBD. Yep, they don't tell you that stuff. So what is about CBD? CBD softens the strand of the DNA on each end of the strand and allows it to open and split. And when it opens and splits to become that second cell, there is a brief amount of time where the cell is splitting that you can get a layer of CBD into your inside and center of your cell. And when you do that, it repairs the cell from the inside out. This is how come you can stop cancers and all that other stuff. And I'm not supposed to say this at all and get sued for it. I'm gonna be sued like hell for what I'm saying. This is how the cannabis doctors are fixing these things, is because they're layering CBD into the cells. If what I've seen in the doctors here, this is Purple Heart Farms. So what I've seen in the doctors is that pancreatic cancer, you can get them in when they're orange. And if you can get 21 days of them in 21 days of, hold on. Lid just asked to come in here. Hold on a minute, guys. Let me see if I can get him in here. Hold on just a minute. Gotta get a link. Link to him. That way he can go. There you go. So let me get back to this. Sorry, I've got too many things I'm doing at once. I got sidetracked here. So getting your security and, having the people come up with you that you want to come up, that you want to maintain your friendships with, is super, super, super important. So, dang it, I lost my whole train of thought.
Ms. Parker, 21 days. You were talking about pancreatic cancer.
Oh, thank you, honey.
You're welcome.
So what happens is, the CBD layers itself into the cell, and you can actually take a picture of a person that has pancreatic cancer because it makes you turn orange. You can take a picture of them every 21 days and put it together like a little flip picture book, and you'll see them be orange and then completely come out of it. So they're about to tell the world that CBD and THC is not bad for you. On top of that, they have another product, another cannabis plant that nobody in America has ever heard of. It's called Kenif, K-E-N-I-F. And that website that I just posted, if you go to the link and then you go, oh shoot, that's the wrong one. Dang it, no wonder why it doesn't make any sense. Here, hold on. That's not what I was trying to tell you. I was trying to tell you about the other country. Hold on. Let me just do one thing at a time. Take me a second. Oh, I remember why I was showing you this. Is because I want you to see what happens when you work in different countries. Because your projects might do that. So, this is Africannabis Lesotho. And if you go to the About page, you're going to see who I work with. That's me, the redhead on the bottom. And the three guys, the first one is, man, I'm so sad to see him. Peter Friedman, he died during the COVID thing. And the next guy, the black haired guy, that's Tim Thompson. He owns a restaurant. And then the guy all the way to the right, that's Nelson Mandela's grandson. That's Nindaba Mandela. So because of cannabis and because of this industry, issues with security are going to be different in different ways in the new world. Things that were that people would hurt you over, that's not going to happen because the truth about a lot of things are about to come out, including cannabis. I'm going all over the place here because I'm trying to talk about too many things at once. Technology, if you're going to be doing stuff with technology, you're going to be a big target. If you're doing stuff with the new medicine, which is the cannabis stuff, you're probably going to be a target. If you're, yeah, Kenneth. Kenneth is the new one. Thanks, ULG. The new cannabis plant that is going to take the world by storm for building is called Kenneth. And there's no THC or CBD in Kenneth. Kenneth is a fiber that doesn't burn, that can be used for homes. A wall made out of Kenneth cannabis at 6 inches thick doesn't, you can put a torch on the wall for 30 minutes and it won't burn through. So this non-burning aspect is going to change how building is done worldwide. So if you're into doing these international projects, like for building, for medicine, for any of those kind of stuff, a lot of the security that you think of today has to be done differently, because you've never been in a place where you thought of yourself as high wealth and high value targets. You've never thought of yourself as a hard target or a soft target. And you may not even know what that is yet. So because of all of these issues, you're going to have to think to protect your newfound wealth. And you're going to have to live in a way to protect your newfound wealth. And a lot of times people don't know this until they get robbed or they get injured. And that's not what we want. We want you to be taken care of before, you know, don't have any problems. Taken care of before. You have to live in stealth. And it's so opposite of what you want to do, because you want to go out and celebrate and party and all this kind of stuff because you're happy, but you can't do that. And the reason why you can't do that is, again, because of security. Once you lose your stealth, once you become known in the outside world, once you become famous, your risk goes through the ceiling. And it's not just yourself, but for everybody you love. There's a lot of different kinds of wealthy people. Some are in love with their own egos, and others are really, really, really discreet. If you're in love with your own ego, you're going to have a massive security team because you're putting yourself in massive risk. A friend of mine used to teach martial arts, and she said, in life, be an enigma. Being an enigma is something you can't figure out because that scares the bullies. So don't let anybody know you. Be an enigma, okay? Especially as your value goes up, okay? You see, attacks never come when you think they're going to come. Okay, that's the problem with the whole thing. Attacks come when you least expect it. Because a criminal's nature is not to be brave and honest. A criminal's nature is to be dirty and sneaky. It is his nature to be a coward. It is his nature that his word means nothing. And the hardest part about this is that the intention of the criminal may not be to attack you directly, because you are a hard target. The cruel reality of this is usually the intention is to take something you love or something that is vulnerable. And that's called a soft target. And in that category is your wife, your children, and your pets. They take soft targets because they are counting on the fact that you love that thing or that person, and that your love for that person or that animal or that thing is greater than the love you have of money. This is a reason why being an enigma not only just protects you, but it protects the one you love. And I'm going to talk about this right now, and this is a suck subject. I am one of 20 cousins. I have two brothers, and they are the youngest two, and I'm third from the bottom. I have 17 male cousins. Isn't that cool? It's a cute number. I'm so tickled with that. I have 17 male cousins, and my parents were removed from my life when I was 17. And because of that, I took on my parents' illegal grow. I took on both sides. And by the time I was 18, I was running an illegal organization that ran across the entire state of California. And when I was 21, my organization was international. I can talk about it freely because the statute of limitations are over. I only had to wait 7 years. But I know firsthand the mistakes of being flamboyant, because I did that. I had myself one badass car, and I was running a grow that was valued about $2 million. And it's one thing to tell you that it's easy for these guys to take you. It's a whole different understanding when it happens to you. I had my cousins. I'm safe. I live up at the top of a mountain. I only go down once a week, and I stop at the same gas station because they have those Hostess little donuts in a six pack that are made out of chocolate, some of them, and some of them are done in powdered sugar. And I love those things. I love those things. So on Friday, I come down the hill. I do all, I get gas, run through town, do all my shopping, and I get free coffee at the gas station that I go to. So I stop by there on my way. Every time I go back up the hill, that's where the grow is. And I pick up a 6-pack of little donuts. My cousins are up there. And this is a very mountainous city in California. And where the road is and where the gas station is the direction up. There is a place on that road, and then my cousins and our illegal grow is up higher. So if you're pulled over on the side of the road and somebody's screaming, you can hear the screams. It'll go up the valley. It's just like dogs calling, you know, running bear. You can hear the screams, okay? So I'm a 2A girl, folks. I just tell you this right off the bat. I usually carry one in my boot. I carry one at the back of my hip, and I usually carry one in my bra. This girl was armed. what would happen back in those days is that they would attempt to catch somebody and then take them and do some really, really bad things to them and get them to tell you the address of where their grow was, location. And as soon as you told them that, they would slice your face, they would rape you, and they would kill you. And so you never, 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 never wanted to get caught. Or if you did get caught, have enough weaponry, armory, that you could handle it. I thought I was good. I mean, I got three weapons. How bad could it be? Real bad. What they did was so easy. So simple. They went to the cash register and offered the guy $100 to give him a beep on his pagers. Because back then we didn't have cell phones, just, you know, beep, beep pagers. And he got $100. That's all he had to do. So they knew my routine. I didn't change. I didn't think I had to. I have protection. I got my weapons. I'm good. No, I didn't have shit. So, they paid the guy off. And when I came back through after I did my stuff, I walked back go back to the gas station to refill my coffee and to get a pack of donuts. And I go to open the door, and there's a gun under my throat, and I'm strong-armed away from the door. It happened in seconds. Seconds. Nobody at the gas station even knew what was going on because it was under my throat. They turned me, and it went to my waist, and they strong-armed me into the waiting vehicle. When they shoved me in, they knew. They immediately relieved me of my weapons, including the ones on my boots. And the ones on my boots, they took a carpet cutter at the edge of my boots and sliced my boots off my feet, looking for a weapon. So I was instantly taken, instantly in a vehicle, and instantly unarmed. In about less than 10 seconds. It happened that fast. They took me to their location and began doing things that caused me to never let anybody see my back for almost 30 years. It was my screams that caused my cousins to come down the hill. If they hadn't found me, it wasn't going to be good. The problem was they were going to kill me because I have a disability. And if you scare me bad enough, I can't remember anything. So they are triggering this brain freeze, this brain lock. I can't tell them anything even if I wanted to. And trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me. I wanted to tell them everything I knew. I didn't care if they were going to kill me because anything to stop what they were doing to me at that point. This is why I talk about security. I'm 64 years old. I still have PTSD from one day, just one day. So listening to Casper, those guys, can't even imagine what they go through. But this is why security is important. Seriously, 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 seriously important. So listen to what I'm saying, folks, because it happens very, very fast and you can't stop it. From that day on, I have had major security whenever I was wealthy. Because it just is that fast. So you need to understand that this wealth is cruel because you now have to think of your life and your family in a different way. I expose this about myself to you for one reason. Is you don't know what you don't know. And you don't know how fast it happens. If they'd have done this to my dog or my daughter, they would have been a much easier target. These people watch you. They watch you before they attack you. The more money you have, the more they'll plan. So I'm urging you to consider security immediately. When you gain this new wealth, you have to quickly, quickly, quickly gain the knowledge of how to do it as stealth, as how to do it as an enigma. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be difficult because you cannot control what family, friends, business associates say to others. That's why I say keep your mouth shut. It's not, no joke, no playing. Keep your mouth shut. I hope that this information I give you helps you on your path. And I hope it helps with your contributions to the humanitarian causes. Because I believe that the humanitarian projects that every one of you are going to do is going to be far more fulfilling than any wealth you're going to get. So what are these different concerns? Okay. Wealth management. Let's start with that one. The first thing you're going to need to consider is wealth management. And if you remember the Beverly Hills, Mr. Drysdale from Beverly Hills, that's what your wealth management does. That's the easiest way to explain what they do. They're there to help you manage your wealth and do it in a way that you do not squander your money foolishly. Everybody knows that lottery winners go broke in just a really short time. And that's that. The reason why is because they don't know about wealth managers and they don't know that they need to hire them. By the time they figure out they need to hire them, they've gone through almost all their money. So we are going to have more millionaires and more billionaires very soon, more than we've ever had in the history of the world. So if you want to stay in that wealthy club, because you don't have any money coming in yet, you want to keep making common, you want to keep from making common mistakes, okay? So what's the first thing you're going to get? You're going to have a paymaster. A paymaster is going to protect you because your paymaster pays your bills for you. This is very important because, number one, if we still have taxes, they're going to make sure you're ready for tax season. But the most important reason why you want a paymaster is because it it is discretion because it does not show any money coming from you. You want somebody else to pay your bills, okay? And what you want is a big fucking bruiser, okay? My paymaster, when I'm out in another country, goes with me, okay? Why? Because I'm 5'2". I cannot stand up to somebody that's going to try to rob me. My paymaster is a big, muscled, ripped, badass ex-military. Good luck trying to get it away from him, okay? So the paymaster is, I don't pay anything because I don't want anybody to think I have money. The paymaster will pay all my major bills, like buy a house. If we're going to go out to a meal and we have a big meal, my paymaster, he gets to eat for free because his job is to pay the bills. So anybody following me, anybody watching me, anybody considering to attack me knows that bitch ain't got no money. She don't got nothing. You know, she has that guy over there. We got to take down that guy over there. So have a paymaster. Okay. Here's the other reason for a paymaster. You may have somebody in your family that you want to help, okay? Like, usually it's a brother, sister, cousin, something like that, okay? And this person is, say this person is married to an asshole, okay? This person is married to an asshole. You know this cousin is not okay with his or her wife, or she's not okay with his or her husband, and you know they're going to get a divorce. How do you help them and protect them? The way you do it is everything that you give away to anybody, you give it away in a trust. And once you give it away, you tell them, look, this is the paymaster. This is your paymaster. I've given this paymaster has agreed with my wealth management team. This is how much I can afford to give you. And once that money is gone, he's not going to give you any more, and I won't be able to because it's in a trust. I don't have access to anything. What you're doing is you are taking away a relative or friend's ability to dun you for money for years and years and years. So you want a paymaster. It's all their fault I can't pay you. Oh, I don't have, if you can get that, take it to George over there. And if George approves your project, then I'll do it. But if George doesn't, I can't because I got everything in a trust and they have control. What you're doing is you're stopping people from coming back later to you and screaming at you, demanding more money. You will be surprised who does this to you. My youngest brother and I were super, 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 super close. He used to race motorcycles, and I love working in the pits. I'm very, very, very mechanical with motorcycles and cars. I mean, I had 17 older cousins. I didn't have much choice. I learned how to blow up Barbie dolls before anybody told me they had clothes for them. So, super mechanical. My youngest brother, who I loved dearly, dearly, the money made him crazy. There's just no other way to say it. The last time I talked to him was he was screaming about how I owed him money, how just on and on and on. And I had already given him almost $5 million. I was like his money tap that he thought he was going to have all of his life. So figure out an amount, go with your wealth manager, figure out how much you're being able to give to whoever you're going to give it to, and then put all of that in trust with your paymaster. Because you want people to turn their anger, if they're going to have any anger, at the paymaster, not you, not your fault. Your wealth manager won't let you do it. That's how you answer those kind of questions to keep yourself safe. Okay? This ensures discretion so that people do not think any money comes from you. That keeps you safe. Now, you're going to need a legal team. Okay? do not go hire your cousin Vinny, okay? You need a very specific kind of legal team to keep you safe. You need a legal team that has experience in lawsuits and extortion and blackmail. Yep. That will happen. You will have people try to extort you. You will have people try to blackmail you, all kinds of shit. So your security team, your physical security team, and your legal team, they're going to talk a lot because they're going to want to know what is a threat to you. Okay. So, if you have a reputable law firm with quite a few years of experience with lawsuit and extortion, that's going to set you up well. You also want a legal team that has experience with corporate documents, corporate contracts, purchase contracts. Okay. Do your homework on this, because your legal team becomes an integral part of doing business. And your legal team is going to make sure all your contracts and partnerships are done with your best interests in mind. A lot of people will use their wealth management team. That's stupid, because the wealth management team cannot defend you or support you in court. So make sure you have a legal team. Background checking. This is painful. This is super painful. So, ladies and fellas, this is for, it's not one sex or the other. It's for both of you, okay? When you begin building your staff and your partnerships, you want to make sure that nobody comes into you or nobody comes into your business that has a criminal background that is or is associated with criminal entities. Now, in the cannabis industry, every single person I know, except for, you know, a few people, have some kind of criminal cases for cannabis, okay? So in my industry, I just throw that right out the window. I didn't even count about that. I worry with my background checks. I look for violent crime, theft. My legal team will be who I will reach out to ask to get access to a firm that specializes in background checking. Some physical security companies, they provide background checking as a service. So that may be something you have to do on a standalone basis, or it may be something that comes with a package deal for other type of security. But I'm not kidding you when I tell you do a background check on everybody, including your own family. I found out that one of my family members, who we thought was away in another country working as a missionary, was actually in prison for 2 years. And they had robbed a considerable amount of money, and it was embezzling. So you can't trust anybody. Trust or trust but verify. Because money makes people do really stupid stuff, and you're about to find out in spades, and you're about to get your heart broke, okay? So just bite the bullet. I don't care if that's your favorite cousin. I don't care if it's, you know, if that person has been out of your life for an extended period of time, more than 3 months, you have to do a background check. You have to protect yourself. You have to, okay? This is all the shitty stuff about being wealthy that you never want to hear about. Sorry. The same goes for your staff. You're going to want to hire people immediately. And you don't want to set up yourself for failure by hiring people you cannot trust. I used to do that. I used to hire people all, you know, everything from C-suite, three-letter C-suites, down to the janitors, okay? And I figured, they're going to be fine. I did an interview. I'm good. I can read people. Fuck no. That was stupid, Parker. That was stupid. Okay. I got embezzled twice. I had a janitor who was stealing packets of money and putting them out of air vent. I got embezzled. I mean, yeah, no. Don't do what I did. Everybody gets a background check. Everybody, okay? This includes arrest records, financial issues, and bad reports from other references. Why financial issues? Why? Okay. Here's why. Because if that son of a bitch has a problem with gambling, the way it's going to show up is in their financial issues. You're not going to see, if they haven't gone and got arrested for it yet, just before all hell breaks loose with a gambler, their financial stuff is in a mess. They can be blackmailed if they have financial issues. They can be extorted, all kinds of stuff. So make sure you check arrest records. That's one of the ways I did is I was only checking arrest records because it was less money. It didn't cost so much to just do the arrest records. So I thought I was saving money. Oh, hell no. I took it in the shorts for about $1.6 million. I can laugh about it now, but I was so dumb. I was like, oh, I'll be fine. No. Don't make my mistakes, folks. Okay. As you build your staff. Okay. It doesn't matter if it's your personal trainer to your gardener, they have to pass an independent test to make sure they can be trusted. Okay. And you should do a drug test. Okay. You should, because if they're in highly addictive drugs like cocaine, or I don't even know all the, I just know cocaine. I don't know any of the rest of them. I've never even done cocaine. But people like, oh, they need to find out if they do marijuana. No, that's the people we want to hire. So I tell my staff, my crew, before they have drug tested, I said, look, I don't care a wit's end if you smoke weed. I don't care about none of that. If I'm hiring you right now, and you want to tell me, hey, I've done recreational drugs and this and that, that's going to come up. That's okay. That's okay. But from this point on, nothing, no powder drugs, nothing. If you want to do weed, hey, that's great. It's legal in the state I'm in and my base is here. So you have every reason to have it. And if something happens to you for just weed alone, my lawyers will protect you, because we're all about protecting people that their remnants, their rights for what God gives us. So, but other than that, no, you can't work for me, and I'll fire you in immediate, and I'll have fun firing you because I don't want you to do that kind of shit around me anyway. Yeah, I'm completely wrong, and my lawyers hate me when I do this shit. But anyway, drug test, background check, everybody, no, oh, I got a new girlfriend and it would upset her. No. Oh, let's talk about girlfriend. Ugly, 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 ugly. Okay. What I'm about to tell you is ugly. And it is a hard, hard fact of life. And you can listen to it and you can accept it, or you can listen to it and you can go, fuck you, Parker. I'm not doing it. I don't care which way. I really don't. I'm telling you so that you know. And if you know, you can act on it, okay? If you don't know, you can make some serious mistakes. When you become a high wealth individual, it is not uncommon and very acceptable for you to have a contract for your girlfriend or a contract for your boyfriend. I know, it's a terrible thing to say. It's a terrible thing to go through. It's not fun at all. You don't want it to be that way because you want to have like real love, okay? The problem is you can't tell. And for the kind of money that you're going to have, people are going to try to play you, okay? So I've dated like this as a very, very, very wealthy woman. And the contracts are very interesting. What they are is it says, you and this other person are going to be in a dating relationship for a year, and it is not a permanent relationship. It is not a potential matrimony. What you, it's just girlfriend and boyfriend. That's it. And that's what you have. Your wealth management team will have you give to your boyfriend or girlfriend. If they don't sign it, you can't date them. If they don't sign it, you can't date them. It's that simple. It has nothing to do with love. It has nothing to do with anything. It has to do with there's some crazy, 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 crazy people out there. And they will date you for 4 or 5 months and then sue you and claim that you were going to marry them. They quit their job because you were going to marry them. You made all these promises because you were going to marry them. So they did all these things in their life to change for you. And now, because you lied to them and now you don't want to marry them, you're responsible for all their costs for jumping through hoops that you weren't going to do. It's true. It happens. So I feel terrible about telling you this, but I've also seen other people, high wealth people, that don't know this little trick, and they get involved to one of these dirty, low, nasty sons of bitch and gold diggers, and they come in male or female, and these people get their hooks in them, and they end up having to pay a couple $1 million to get away from them, and they never did anything. It was just boyfriend, girlfriend. So it has to be contract. It has to be, folks. And if you listen to this, you'll be safe forever. If you don't listen to this, it's like playing with a loaded gun and you're playing Russian roulette. Because at some point, you will run across one of these sons of bitches and they're going to try to take you for all your money. So sorry to be the one to tell you, but you need to consider having a contract for your boyfriend or girlfriend. When you decide that you fall in love, many of these situations, especially palimony, where you're friends for years and then you split, many of these situations can go very, very bad for you. And you see these people, you know, having divorces, losing millions, okay? A lot of the movie stars that are wealthy, a lot of sports people that are really wealthy, they make some really stupid decisions. And they make these decisions because they don't have a wealth management team helping them and guiding them, okay? Again, like I said earlier, they don't have that guiding you, so you end up losing all your money. By the time you figure out that you needed this, it's too late. You've lost most everything. You need a wealth management team right in the beginning. That's the best thing you can do for your security. So when you get to that point where you decide that, hey, this is the right person, this is the one I love. A lot of people get bent out of shape over prenups. And prenups are pretty nasty. They are. But if you do it as a contract, it takes a lot of the sting out of it. Because you two agree, while you're of sound mind and not hating each other, what you expect from the other. So I'm, you know, and you write it all out. I mean, and one of my friends did this. I mean, it was all the way to how much he should be able to expect for sex and positions and this and that. And her side was how much should she expect for budget. And they wrote it out in a way that if one or the other didn't fulfill the needs and requirements of the other one, it wasn't like a prenup where you only get this, you only get that. It was a reason. So if this happens in our relationship and I want a divorce, it's because of these reasons. You're not filling these needs. And if you do this, then you should give me this for doing the wrong thing or not living up to your agreements. So they make it out to really as deep as you can possibly do it, if you want to go as far, and what you give up if you don't do the right thing. If you marry somebody and then you treat them bad, or they marry you and then they treat you bad. If they don't do up, if they don't live up to the agreements of the contract, you know, you were going to give them, you know, 3-4 million if they agreed, you know, they just fell out of love, whatever. But if they don't agree to the contract, then the amount that you give them changes. You work it out like that. Because there are people that will marry high wealth individuals and stay married until the last legal day that they have to be married before they can be divorced and get spouse rights, which especially in California, 10 years. If you're with somebody in California for 10 years, I mean, the amount of property and everything else you can take from them goes astronomical. And it is very, very, very common in countries and states that where they have, you know, wife's rights or spouse's rights kicks in after 5 years, 10 years, whatever that is. You see a lot of high wealth individuals the day after that day kicks in, where the spouse can get their claws into the most, they'll get a divorce. So if you do it in a situation where X plus Y equals XYX, you know, whatever that is, I don't know algebra, then it protects you in a lot better and a lot different way than just a prenup. So think about that, you know, tuck that information in the back of your head, because for those of you that are married and happy married right now, oh my God, I so envy you. I so envy you. I so envy you, because if you love your spouse right now, what is about to happen to you is going to be amazing, 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 amazing. My husband passed away a few years ago. When you get wealthy with someone you love, and you sweethearts, and you go into that high wealth thing, it is just so fantastic, because you don't have anybody against you. You don't have anybody, you know, it's the two of you against the world kind of a thing. And it's super, super, super awesome. Dating as a high wealth individual is extremely embarrassing at times, and very, very, very difficult, because it's embarrassing to, well, hey, I'd like to go out with you. I can't accept a date with you until my security gets your background information to make sure you're not a serial killer. You know, those kind of conversations don't come up right now in most of your lives. So you are the very most vulnerable when you first have the money. So by knowing this stuff now, it protects you more, okay? So when I talk about doing background checks on your staff, some of the people that they forget is the legal staff. You're going to hire one legal company to do a background check on your legal staff. You don't even have any idea how many lawyers are addicted to cocaine, and they come up with stupid shit, stupid cases, whatever, just so they can rape you for money. Okay. So you have to have your own legal staff have a background check and a drug check. Okay. The other people that a lot of wealthy people forget is their own personal security staff. Treat them the same way you do your legal. You're going to have an independent security staff run a background check on everybody that's in your personal security staff. Most people forget that. They don't realize, and there's been several cases that I'm aware of where the high wealth individual was got through, you know, was victimized because of a very first hire. Because they didn't have the staff in place. They didn't have this knowledge. So they had a staff in place that was dirty, dirty, dirty. They had a gambling problem. And the guy, you know, he knew the combination of the damn safe, you know. So background check on everybody. It's stuff you don't think of, you know. So who are some of the background check companies? The ones I personally have used, I've used Pinkerton. I have used CenturyLink. I've used Experian. So Experian is a online background check for financial and that kind of stuff. And then there's also some self-serve companies. And then I've also been fortunate enough to have a security company. One of my security companies had a background check offering in the thing. So I just did everybody there. So this next part is tough, okay? I've had over 30 years of experience having high-level security. For most of you, this will be the most challenging thing you've ever done. And how you staff your security is going to be right up there. It's going to be very difficult, okay? So what your factors are is your risk versus reward factor, okay? So for me, I'm 64 years old. I have zero experience in any kind of martial arts, zero experience in competitive shooting, although I do have quite a bit of experience range shooting, just kerplunking. My kids are grown up, but I have grandkids, so my grandkids are soft targets. Both of my kids, military experience. So the level of security for myself is going to be quite different than a family or a person that has children, a business, lives in a remote area versus lives in a guarded, gated community. And you also have to consider the fact that there are securities firms that work globally that don't just bodyguard the children of rich people, but they also bodyguard the children of rich people. And their security is around school and sporting events, okay? The reality is, if people that want your money can, they will take whatever from you they can get from you so that you will pay for the safe return of whatever that thing, okay? So just remember this. Nobody's going to take a bullet for you or your family for $10 an hour, okay? So if you think, oh, I'm going to hire Jimmy John's security team and they're going to be $35 an hour, nah, that's not the type of security. My security staff runs anywhere from $250,000 a year to $500,000 a year, depending on what they do for me. So if your chances of, if you're not being stealth, if you're living out in the world and people know you, your security costs are going to go up astronomically. It would not be unthinkable if you were living out in the world, not stealth, $350,000 to $400,000 a year per staff, per person is what you would expect to pay. So there's some things, there's some reasons why you want to be stealth. Besides not being as big of a target, is that you have lower cost to protect yourself. If you travel to Europe, if any of your work travels to Europe, or you're going to go to Europe for vacation, you have to remember that bigger is not always better, okay? There are other countries that have armed forces and people that have armed force training, intense training, that are not men, they're women. You're looking for skills, not size, okay? The person that is going to attack you, they don't give a shit if your protection is, you know, a big bruiser or a little bitty girl. Because however they're going to attack you, they're watching you already. So they're going to put together a well-planned mission to get you, okay? So they don't care the size. What they care about is skills. The other thing people forget is you cannot work somebody 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and expect to feel safe. They'll be tired all the time. So you're going to have several teams of people protecting you, Okay. The other thing you're going to ask yourself is, does this person have any kind of training in weapons, martial arts, and bodyguard training? Okay. A lot of people think, oh, I want to hire a former policeman. Oh, hell, you don't. No, 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 you don't. You want to hire military or paramilitary. And you want them that have had either combat service or were prepared for combat, has all the training. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you might think, oh, my friend Joe Blow over there, he's working for a security company. He's got security expert, you know, stuff. He's got, I just want to get him a job, so I'm going to have him be part of my security. Well, let me tell you what. That guy is going to need to run through a million bullets through his weapon, okay? It's going to take him about a year to get up to staff or up to par with a military guy, okay? Uncle Sam pays tons and tons and tons of money to let these guys flunk iron down the road, okay? So you don't need to do that. To get that same level of training for firearms or for other self-defense, you're going to have to spend a ton of money to get Joe Blow off the street who's never had any of this kind of training up to training and par. So hire a vet. Hire a vet, folks. Hire a vet. Hire a pilot. If you can, hire a paramilitary vet, okay? Again, skills. I hire my personal team. When I go out and about in the world, when I was younger, it was easier. Now it's a little dicey. Now my security team is going to be this. I'm going to have a man and a woman that look mid to late 30s. And I'm going to have an older security guy, hopefully with gray hair. Why? When I go to Europe, they can't carry guns. So these are all going to be all spat, you know, they'll be all European security, all European people. Because I want it to look like when I leave my, when I go out in the public, I want it to look like mom and dad with daughter and son-in-law, or mom and dad with son and daughter-in-law. I want it to look like we're just tourists, family tourists out to see the world, okay? I have had Russian female protection, okay? And I'm gonna tell you this. Them bitches are badass. They're little and they use leverage, okay? And they can flip one of them big boys like a sack of potatoes. It's the most incredible thing. I had an American agent, great big guy, and I had this little bitty girl. And they had an ongoing deal. Every time that she could flip him, she got $1,000. Every time he stopped her from being flipped, he got $1,000. This was a game we played all the time. It's hilarious. It was hilarious. And I'm here to tell you, she won probably 80% of the time. She was able to sneak up on him and flip him. Just like, she fucking flipped this guy at Disneyland. Like, it was awesome. But anything to get camaraderie, play, you know, whatever. But, don't think that they have to be rippled with bruise, you know, rippled muscular bruiser kind of guy, because they don't, especially in Europe and other countries that don't have guns. It's all about technique, okay? All about technique. So you want those easy on the eyes, blend in. They just look like family. That's who you're looking for your security team. Most Americans, when they hire their first security team, they want Johnny, you know, muscle man, and here to save the day. No, they're going to walk right over that guy. So skills, 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 okay? You also want to ask when you're interviewing these guys if they have bodyguard training, martial arts training. Those are invaluable. And then another thing you want is you want to ask if they have defensive driver training. Defensive driver training isn't that expensive, like a couple grand, okay? every single person that you have working with you for security, you send them to defensive driver training school. Because one of the easiest ways for the bad guys to get you is to crash your car and pull you out of your car, okay? So you want everybody in your team to know how to drive like a cop. That defensive driver training. My staff went through defensive driver training every 6 months. They loved it because it's way fun. Super, super, super fun. But we have been chased. I was chased twice. And if it wasn't for my staff, I'd have been caught. So defensive driver training, if your staff doesn't have it, don't go, oh, okay, well, you don't. No, actively go out and make sure that they have they have access to that. Very soon, you're going to have to try to figure out who you're going to protect. Wife, kids, grandkids, etc. You're going to have to figure out if you're going to live in a remote area or a guarded gate community. Both have different challenges. You're going to have to figure out what kind of vehicle is best for keeping you safe. And like I just said, make sure the driver knows how to drive in a crisis. That's super key, because that's one of the easier ways they get you is in your car. So other things, are you going to travel? Are you going to travel for your project? Are you going to travel for just personal enjoyment? When you travel, do you have enough help on the ground when you get there? So if you're doing this kind of thing, you want to hire a team that has global access, because it's way easier to add security on in different countries than to try to hire new security from a totally different agency. So if your projects are going to go global, if you're going to be doing a lot of international travel, that's something you need to consider when you hire a security team. Okay. I am going to be buying a house, and I am going to be buying business property, and I'm not doing either one of those until I have my physical security team. Why? Because you're going to want to have your home be your fortress. You're going to want your home. You're going to want a place in your home that you can get to safe. So then all right, your security team can protect you. Or if they can't protect you, get you to a place where you can survive no matter what that happens. Okay. You don't look at homes like that. You don't look at home and think, oh, we do this here or there, okay? You don't want to have that conversation out in the open. So your security team with your security guy when you go look at home, because what you're doing is you're having them look at the home eyes from a person's security. Go out and look at 2 or 3 homes where homes have your security guy. At the end of the day, you ask him, which one do you think? And he's going to give you 1-3. Well, if you guys can, if you like number 2 and he likes number 1, have a little chat. If you like the same ones that he does, then you're no problem. But asking that kind of question and having that guy with you or girl with you when you go home searching, I tell you what, it can save you thousands to millions of dollars. If you have to move walls, or you have to move plumbing, or you have to move infrastructure to make your building secure or safe, it's not a good purchase, because you're going to be out of that building a lot while they're doing the repairs. So it's wiser on the overall to ask to have your security guy go there. And remember, everything is good. The couch. Also, the homes, because they have that shit, and you should get to the news. So,
Ms. Parker, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think some people are saying you're rubber banding.
That what? banding.
Rubber banding. I'm sorry.
Christine, me. Megs wants to know, Christine, can you hear me? Am I still rubber banding?
Okay. Just hang in here. I'm going to leave and I'm going to come right back in. Or is it working now? LG, is it working for you?
Yes.
Look, little Miss Fuzzy.
Every once in a while, you'll rubber band. And then I've left and come back and you were fine. And then you started rubber banding again.
Okay, well, let me leave and come back and hopefully that'll stop it. I'm sorry about the entertainment over here. Be quiet, Poodle. I'll be right back.
Thank you.
Let's see if this works. Hey, does it work? Does it work? Does it work?
Yes.
Yay! That's good. All right. I'm dyslexic, folks. I'm pretty severely dyslexic. And so I have to write notes, and these notes are on blue screen paper. Because if I don't have them on blue screen paper, they just have their own little dance and they move and I can't read anything. So I can't see the chat room. So if you're thank you so much for interrupting. I appreciate it. I told you I was gonna stop and I forgot. Maybe I should stop right now. Does anybody have any questions about stuff I've said so far? Nope, we're all good. Okay, fine. But yeah, say something to me if I rubber band like that so we can stop it. So the one thing that you're going to do when you interview your security staff is keep this one thing, this one question in your mind, okay? At the end of that thing, when you're done interviewing this person, when you decide, yeah, I think I like this guy, you know, I feel good about him, that's not what you want to ask yourself. You want to ask yourself, can I trust this person with my life? And be that bold about it, because literally that's what you're going to do. If you don't feel that you can trust that person with your life, don't hire them. It's not the right person for you. So, and it's funny too, because I don't know. I've had assets. I've had, that's what we call them. I've had security come to me and their resumes were bomb, beautiful. I mean, they were divers. They liked to shoot. They actively competed in shooting. I mean, if I get somebody that says they like to compete with security, they like to competition shoot, it's like, oh yeah, I know you're talking to a girl, but you're talking to a girl who loves guns. So you want to go competition shooting? Okay, yeah, you're hired. I mean, I just get blinders on when I see that kind of stuff, because that's what I personally love to do. So having security that likes to do it, I've had it too, where I've hired security where they, you know, I've had my time, ma'am. I don't need to be shooting. I've got my skills. I don't want to go to the range. I'm sick of going to the range. I've been doing it for years. Okay. Don't hire that. For me, I can't hire that kind of person, because if you're going to be standing over there in the corner with your finger up your butt, pissy that we're standing at the range, I'm like, why? We're here. You can shoot for free. You know, why wouldn't you not like to do this? And if they don't like to do it, they're not my right kind of security. So I learned really quickly, the thing you have to ask yourself before you put your hand out and say, hey, welcome to the team, is, can I trust this person with my life? And mean it. Okay. Can I trust this person with my life? And if the answer is yes, and I'm not saying, hey, Johnny, can I trust you with my life? Don't say that. I mean, I'm talking about in your brain. Okay. And if you say yes, then that person you hire. Okay. The next thing you're going to ask yourself is, am I willing to get this person the training they need?
a lot of people will hire security and then they will think, oh, I need to give you, okay, so you don't have defensive driving training. So you, I need you to have that by, you know, in a year or 6 months or whatever, but they don't pay for it. And you need to pay for this stuff. You need to be willing to pay to get the training for that person. Why? Because if you don't feel safe enough to pay for this guy's training or this gal's training, you don't feel safe enough to have them take care of you. If you have the kind of connection where you think, yeah, I really want this person to work with me, then it doesn't matter what kind of training they need. You'll cover it. But if nobody tells you this stuff, you go along and have different security members and nobody will tell you because you're the boss. Nobody will tell you, hey, ma'am, you need to help us with the cost of this. So when you hire somebody, think, am I willing to pay for their training? If it's yes, and yes, I feel safe, and yes, 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 then that's the right person. The next thing you want to ask yourself is, how much am I going to budget for these ongoing costs of security? Once you hire staff, then you're going to go to your wealth management team, and you're going to say, hey, this is my staff. This is what I need. What's my budget for it? And they're going to tell you how much you can spend. So you need to know what your budget is right off the bat. Your head swimming yet? I bet it is. Like, oh my God, Parker, shut up. If your head's not swimming by now, it should be. Because the fact of the matter is you're looking for some very specialized, very highly qualified individuals. And like I said earlier, in the United States, people tend to lean towards big bruiser guys. That their size is the deterrent. But again, in Europe, that's not going to work. The worst choices I have ever made was a bodyguard that is a current or ex-police officer. And I do not want to discuss why I feel that way, but I do very strongly. I have much respect for police officers. I have much respect for ex-police officers, but the two jobs are not the same at all. Okay, so I will not. I would rather hire someone with no police experience at all rather than hire somebody that's current or ex-police force. So, like I said, my favorite choice is somebody with a lot of weapons training. I look for somebody with an EMT, emergency medical training. If they have EMT in combat zone, yeah, they're hired. These guys do one thing really well. They are motherfucking loyal. If you treat them well, they'll treat you well. They deliver loyalty and they deliver straight professionalism every single time. I love my military guys. And now if you're thinking you've got somebody in mind that has no training, you need to be prepared to get them the training they need. Most special ops personnel, believe it or not, they have usually fired over 1 million practice rounds. You're going to have to pay for 1 million practice rounds, okay? They're not going to be ready in less than 50,000 rounds in a competitive environment. So either 1 million rounds kerplunking or 50,000 in competition. Bottom line is weapons and bullets cost money, and they cost a lot of damn money. So I much rather would hire... Like, I like my entire crew to be former military. And the thing is this is, I'm in the channel with another channel with a military guy named Casper. And there are so many questions I want to ask him, but I'm so afraid to ask him this because I'm afraid I'll offend him. That's the last thing I want to do. But do we have anybody in the military in here right now? Is anybody in the former military? Any of the guys in here, any gals, anybody, former military? There's something about former military. If you hire everybody as former military, they become their own team. And I don't understand why it happens. I just know that it does. And they have an esprit de corps as a team that you just cannot get with any other hires. So I hire Europeans as many as I do Americans, and it doesn't matter. If they were in a European military at all, if they were in military, they tend to form a very, very tight bond. And especially if you're actually doing crazy shit where you're going in the deep, like I was a strain hunter. Okay. So I went into places where they thought, that's an American, let's just kill her. You know, so my guys were beasts. I mean, they were just straight up beasts. They didn't give a shit. If I need to go there, they made it happen. And we had a good time. I mean, they were great, great. I paid them fucking boatloads of money. But you can't get that esprit de corps, that kind of team mentality. It comes with military people. And civilian people don't have it. And I don't know how to make that or instill that in civilian people. So I just say, screw it. I just hire all paramilitary or I hire American military. So when you're trying to figure out how many people, who you're going to hire, all that kind of stuff, you have to consider how much does people know about you right now? How famous are you right now? That's going to come in determination. If you're a family or if you're a business or if you're a family and a business, if you have kids. I am a senior woman and my kids are all grown and they're probably not going to be involved in what I'm going to do. But you will hear me. I have a poodle named MAGA. And oh yeah, you heard your name, huh? And she's like, I would hunt somebody if they took MAGA. I mean, this is my bud. So for me, the only person, quote unquote, that I am going to protect vehemently is Max. So my circle of security is not very big right now, but when I was younger, I had two kids, and then my brother's wife passed away, and I had some of his kids, and so I had like six kids I was trying to guard. My security costs were through the ceiling. So, you know, try to figure out what everybody else knows about you, okay? Also figure out your home, your current home. If your current home, if your security team looks at your current home and says move, you have to move. It's not, oh, gee, I can't do this because whatever, whatever, whatever. No, you actually have to move, okay, for security, okay? And let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. Let me show you this stuff right here. So Kenneth is one of the four different types of cannabis, Christine. Most people in America only know about THC, CBD, hemp. They don't know about Kenneth. Kenneth is all fiber. Doesn't get you high. It's not medicinal. It's the cannabis that you can make sales out of. You know, boat sales. It's the cannabis you can make shoes out of. It's the cannabis that you can make building walls, building materials, roofs. It doesn't burn. So it's one of the four types of cannabis. So let's talk about the security of your home, okay? So at some point, I want you to, if you guys can, take a peek in the channel. At some point, you're going to need to be concerned about the security in your home and around your property. So you can do fences and you can put Constantine wire and all that kind of stuff around your property, okay? But in the cannabis world, if you put fences around your property, it's just like, oh, they got something to hide, okay? How do you make a fence that is right in front of everybody's eyes, but nobody can see it?
I'm showing you how in the channel. So the very top picture and the very bottom picture, those are two different types of thorn trees. Okay. They have spikes that are about 2 inches long. Okay. And they, if you run through a patch of thorn trees, Jesus's crown was made out of thorn tree thorns. Okay. If you run through a patch of thorn trees, you will literally have your clothes ripped off of you. They cut you. Okay. This is way, way, way worse than Constantine wire. And in the dark, the bad boys can't see it. Okay. So I plant around my house, I plant a perimeter line of thorn trees. And I plant them so close together that if you try to get between them, hold on. Rob just asked something. Let me get this link. Hold on a minute. I got somebody trying to get in here. Give me just a minute. Let's go to Rob. Paste. Let's go here and tell him we're in the channel. Hold on just a minute, folks. All right, there you go. Okay, let me get back over here. Sorry about that. Just wanted to get, I know he was in here asking. Okay, so what I do is I set up the perimeter of my house, not in Constantine wire. I set it up with plants, okay? And the reason you do this is because you want it so that nobody can get through your property and you have your security, your outer security and layers. So you have your, the first layer is you're gonna have roses. And you want the old school roses. And the ones with the pink roses, the pink thorns. And then here's the one with the green thorns, okay? You want those on the outside, okay? And the roses are pretty, and people don't really realize it's the old thorns that are many, 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 many thorns. The American Beauty roses and those kind of roses, the thorns are way apart, so they don't really protect you. So you want a layer of thorns. And then, if possible, layer lemon trees, a row of lemon trees. Lemon trees, the thorns on the one with the hook, the thorns that hook backwards, those are what like lemon trees look like. They're usually a lot bigger than that, very, very robust. And then the center is you want thorn trees. You want thorn trees. Nobody can get through thorn trees. So I'm going to have my compound surrounded by thorn trees. On the outside of the rows of thorn trees is going to be just roses. I'm not going to do lemon trees because I can't use that many lemons. So I'm going to do the thorn trees and then the roses on the outside. Now my property, when you drive by it, it doesn't look like a compound. You don't even realize. I mean, yeah, there's some trees around it that are pretty close. It looks like a natural hedge. But you don't realize those are thorn trees. So if you've got an intruder that comes through your front passageway of your house, okay, and they try to break into your house and your security is alarmed and they run and they run to the perimeter, if they run any place else other than the egress and exit of your property, they're going to be pinned into the trees. They're not leaving. They're going to jump in there and they will literally be skewered in the trees. So I have guard dogs. My guard dogs will run
run a person directly into the thorn trees on purpose, because they ain't going nowhere. They'll be there when you go out. They'll be there when the cops go there, because they'll jump thinking they can run through it. And no, no, they'll be just skewered. Won't kill them, but it will make them never, never, never want to come to your property again. And it only takes a couple of times with thieves before they realize, oh, this bitch is fucking crazy. We can't go onto her property. These trees will kill us. And right now, they're totally legal to plant. So all of my compounds I've ever had has always had this kind of protection. Some security really appreciate it. Some security hate it. So you're going to have to talk to your security team and see which line of the road they go on. There are some states that thorn trees are not legal in. And I don't know which states off the top of my head, but I do know that thorn trees are legal in California because I had a shitload of those. The other kind of thorn tree that people don't know is a thorn tree is called a mesquite, M-E-S-Q-U-I-T-E, mesquite tree. And those have massive thorns, but they're not super, super close like these big ones. But that's one way to protect your property, the perimeter of your physical property. Okay. So these are different kind of things you're trying to think of to protect your family, but there's also common sense. Okay. You have to be an enigma. You have to blend and not stick out. Okay. That's kind of hard if you have a 16-year-old who's trying to roll a Lamborghini. You know, I'm 16 years old. I want a Lambo to go to school. No, no, no. Like, you may love your 16-year-old, but actually that's not love. That's like a death sentence to give a kid like that a car like that. So think, be cognizant of what you're doing, okay? You also may want to consider how much information you want your own family to know, okay? Because you might have kids or, I mean, God help you, a wife or a husband that would brag about your wealth. And they wouldn't be doing it in a way to be rubbing it in people's noses. They're just happy, you know. And Mr. Bad Guy can hear about it and start planning to rob you or do other things worse to you, okay? So, personal security. Oh, one more thing about bodyguard. You're going to roll all these things together and try to figure out what your personal needs are. What my needs are is going to be different than your needs, okay? And it's quite possible that I'm actually thinking of opening a training center to train high-end wealth security people, because I don't think we're going to have enough of these guys. Whatever you decide to do for your security, for your personal security, is going to have a direct impact on your peace of mind. Peace of mind is something money can't buy, sex can't buy, drugs can't buy. You either have it or you don't. There's no other line in between it. And when you feel safe, comfortable in your skin, safe, that's when peace of mind happens. So think about your security with a great deal of thought, okay? In the end, really, truly, every bodyguard I've ever had ended up being a really great friend and a very good, like a vault type confidant in the long run. You just have to respect them, because if you respect them, they're going to respect you. And pay them. Don't be shy about paying them, okay? Personal security. You can hire people to protect you, or you can take steps to protect yourself, okay? I'm Johnny Fix-It Girl, okay? The more tools I got in my tool bag, the better. Fighting skills, personal protection skills, is just like anything that you get what you pay for. So, learning how to protect yourself is of great importance.
because you never know when the bad day might come and your boys, your girls can't get to you, you know? So don't just enter yourself or your kids at the local ABC karate school, or don't go down to the MMA gym. Take some time, okay? Research who's available and their skill sets. Most of what is taught out there by security people will not work in real life situations. Understand that. Any training is better than no training. So find yourself a skilled teacher in security arts, okay? It's not as hard as you think, okay? There are some serious badasses out there that don't teach much for martial arts, or they don't teach much for personal security. And the very best ones, they're not going to have a sign on the door, but they're going to be by word of mouth, and you will meet the kind of people that have access to those kind of guys. I have had personal security teachers who worked as high school coaches. I've had one guy that was retired from the military. I swear to God, he forgot more about fighting than he ever taught me. I mean, he was just a beast. And a lot of times, you might, in the martial arts around you, you might actually have a master martial arts person in your hometown and you don't know it. But if you ask them nicely and you pay them well, they'll do private classes for you. And that's what you want. You don't want anybody, you're a high wealth individual. You don't want anybody to know who's teaching you. You don't want to know their skill set, because surprise is the best element to keep you safe. Locator beacons. We used to use pagers or beepers as a locator beacon. Boy, were we old school. Technology has come just a tremendous way from the last few years. And anymore, it's really inexpensive to track you or your kids with a GPS locator. So ask your security team about putting GPS locators, locator beams and stuff. They can be inserted into gym bags, shoes, all kinds of different stuff. Trackimo is a really good one. TRAKIMO. That's a device I use that on my dogs. But if you've got a GPS locator, if someone in your family goes missing, it's super nice to have a method to be able to find them. Okay. The next subject is just a bitch. You want to hire a retrieval expert, and brings me no joy to talk about this, folks, because most people are unaware that there are companies that are called retrieval expert companies. What these companies are for is if you or your family member or your pet, something you love, goes missing, and you either track them or they want a ransom from you, you need an expert at finding and retrieving people safely. And you're hiring somebody that understands the mindset of these people. They are not a negotiator. They do negotiations, but they are an expert at the criminal mind and how to talk to these people if you're in a situation where you're dealing with a kidnap for ransom. I say the word kidnap, but I break out and sweat my forehead. Alarm systems. Your home should be a safe environment and highly protected. I mean, today's alarm systems are insane. They not only do they do alarms, but you can see cameras, you can speak from your phone. You can have a phone voice at your front door from your phone anywhere in the world, speak right through your phone.
Super wild. I mean, I used to be of the day when you have 24-hour security guards. Well, the problem with those is those idiots are really, really trained poorly, and they're super, super, super slow. So anymore today, I'm all about the wireless cameras and alarms. You know, that's a good choice. And then I usually have somebody on premise. I have somebody physically on premise. As I've aged, because my knees don't work as well. You know, if I'd have known I was going to live this long, I certainly would have took better care with my knees. But because of my knees and not being able to run at my age, it's important to me to have a safe room in my home. And this is what I talked about earlier. When you're going to go buy your new home, is that you need to hire your security team first before you buy anything. Hire your security team, okay? Then take your security guy, one, whoever the leader is, take them with you to go shopping for houses, like I said earlier. So, and one of those things is you're going to say, hey, look, I need to set a safe room up in my house. So when we go looking at these homes throughout the day, tell me, you know, give me your information after we're away from the realtor. Again, I know I said this earlier, but doing this can literally save you hundreds to millions of dollars. So you don't have to change the walls in your rooms. Your team can figure out how to build a safe room in an already built place. So in your safe room, you're going to have everything you need to hide, to fight, and to communicate if you need. That means cameras, food, water, weapons, and ammo, and your own power supply if electricity is cut. You can put all your valuables in there as well. My safe for all my jewelry was inside my safe room. You need a safe room expert to get that built properly, and it's worth every penny. I've seen other friends of mine who've had safe rooms built, and ooh, they got the door really, really, really good. They took what did this guy take? He took, I can't remember if it was a beer bottle or a Pepsi bottle. It was a bottle. And he took a bottle. Now, this door to the safe room is like bank vault type of a door, right? He took a regular bottle, went 16 inches off to the side, and took the bottle and pounded the bottle through the sheetrock and got right into the safe room. Ripped them off for everything they had. The safe is still locked. The door is still locked. Everything's good. But this builder never dawned on him, oh, well, gee, there's no, you know, rebar in the walls to keep out somebody from taking a bottle and popping the wall out, which is what he did. And she lost everything. So you have to have a safe room expert to get a safe room built properly. Okay. Now, layered security. I talked a little bit about layered security a few minutes ago. Layered security is dogs, plants, gates, anything that impedes the invaders travel to get into your home. Okay, gated security, security walls, dogs, security lights, alarms, any kind of thing you can do to put a crimp in their style. Me, I like thorn trees, because if they're going to try to rip me off, I want to make them bleed. I'm just that kind of girl. You hurt me, I hurt you worse. So you have to figure out what's going to be comfortable for you in your security. So these are some of the things you need to think about before this wealth comes. How are you going to protect yourself, folks? Another thing that's a part of security that very few people think about is wellness. Okay. If you're healthy, you are able to run. If you're healthy, you're able to defend yourself far better than, you know, if you're fat, dumb, and happy, that's great. But you just made yourself a whole bunch more trouble for your security team to take care of you. So get yourself into health. Hire a personal trainer. You know, now that I'm 64 years old, thinking about, I gotta hire a personal trainer. This is so funny because I've been telling people this my whole life. Every time I teach one of my clients this stuff, you need to hire a personal trainer. Well, that's when I was young. And I used to think, ha, ha, ha. Now the shoe's on the other foot. I'm not motivated. I don't take the time to exercise or eat right. That sucks. I love jelly donuts, but this has got to come to a screeching halt.
I gotta hire the right personal trainer, and you should too. You need to keep fit, you need to keep motivated. And I actually like to hire a personal trainer that I don't really like because I can do it no matter what you say. But like it's a necessary expense. It's part of keeping yourself safe by keeping yourself fit. I know a lot of people don't think like that, but hiring the right kind of trainer, it makes everything. It's really, really great. It's like I'm going through this and I'm reading it and I'm laughing because 20 years ago, when I started advising my clients, I was like, you need a nutritionist because having wealth can be a problem if you're not eating right or eating too much. And your nutritionist can work with your trainer. And I'm like, God bless America. Now I'm going to have a nutritionist too. It sucks when you know this stuff, but you don't like that you know it. So a nutritionist is going to work with you and your personal trainer to make sure that you're putting the right stuff in your body so you can have optimal health, so you can be as secure as possible with good health. You know, it is what it is. Now, the next one, I have a friend of mine who believes in this, okay? And I tell you this, even though I absolutely do not believe in it. And if she was sitting here, she would be cracking up laughing right now because she would know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay, I'm an old cowgirl, okay? I am, I really am. I like my dogs, I like my guns, I like my beer on Friday night, okay? I'm an old cowgirl, okay? I don't believe in any of this woo-woo stuff, and we're getting this woo-woo stuff from everywhere. And the more I get it, the more I fight it. And one day I'm not going to be that way, but so far I'm not there yet. So, what's this person that I don't want to tell you about? And she knows I'm doing this recording tonight. So, I know the first thing she's going to ask me is, hey, Parker, did you tell him about hot getting an energy healer? I don't want to lie. I would like to lie, but I start laughing, so she would know immediately. Energy healer. I'm not joking, okay? This is not my idea, but she swears on this. Me, I think it's woo-woo, okay? But she has an energy healer, and she never gets sick. She never goes to the doctor. She didn't give a crap about health insurance, and she thinks this person takes care of her physical, emotional, and spiritual. Me? I don't know anything about this stuff. But if you are into this woo-woo stuff, you should consider doing it too. Me? I'm not there yet. But I just, in the interest of transparency, are there any of you in there out here listening right now that believe in this energy healer business? No, not one of you are going to say that. No, Park, we don't know nothing. We don't see nothing. We know you don't like it. We're going to say shit, nothing, Park. Okay. That's okay. Now, here's another sucky one is your electronic footprint. Okay. Your social media habits at this point in your life have been pretty harmless. Okay. But when you get wealth, it's going to be a totally new day. Okay. And now they can get your, I mean, Facebook, Google, all they spend millions of dollars to find out everything about you. The new additions to these platforms are really super scary. I mean, people can find about you everything you do about you 24 hours a day. Like you may have 2,500 followers, but none of them would drive over to your house and help you move a couch or give you a place to stay. And on top of that, all these kind of accounts get hacked routinely and they create false profiles and those profiles get other people. Like there's been things where men have had their profiles changed, you know, fathers. And then the guy that looks like the girl, the kid's dad calls the school and they see this image that the kid recognizes their dad, spoofed it. And that's how they steal the kids. So, I mean, there's all this kind of stuff gets hacked, okay? Everything we've got now, they're saying, is recorded. everything like that. So consider how you're going to rebuild yourself and brand your privacy. Here's some tips. Close your Facebook account. If you are highly addicted to Facebook, create an alias, but never use your real name. When this RV drops, I will get a new phone and a new phone number. I have too many people and too many things that are attached to my current phone number that are a major security risk. I will ghost. Folks, you won't find me. I will absolutely ghost. I will be off social media, off Google, off Yahoo, off every single thing. Close Google, close Yahoo, any other public email accounts. If you can open up an account Okay, there we go. I had to let him know I was on a call. Close and delete any messengers like Facebook messengers. Using Telegraph, it's encrypted. It's encrypted texting. So that's the only reason why I'm on Telegraph right now. Telegram, I don't know what this is. Telegram. But you want to use an encrypted app. I can't think of the other ones. There's a couple other of them, but what you need to do, Signal, I think, is the other one. What you need to do right now is make a handwritten list of all your friends and all their phone numbers so that when you do drop your phone, you still have your personal contacts, and set up a Telegram or Signal account immediately. So that when you do come back up, you've already got that thing set up for your friends and family to talk to you. You want to use a VPN proxy server. And if you do that, then you can set your locations to different physical areas. And you can set up, like, I don't know, four or five of them on one account. Delete Skype. Skype is very easily hacked, and it's owned by Microsoft. And they hate deleting accounts. Skype is so difficult. You have to get it off your account, to get it off your phone. You have to actually call them to get the account deactivated, or they don't. You won't see it on your physical display, but it's still on your computer or still on your phone. So you really have to call Microsoft and get off of Skype. My security text from before said that Zoom works. It's great for video conferencing, and attendees are by invitational only. So by being invitation only, it makes it a lot more impossible to hack. So the last thing is insurance, okay? There are insurance strategies that I am not an expert on, but ask about insurance strategies for high wealth individuals for security. That's a topic that your wealth manager usually gives you advice on, but ironically, security issues through insurance is not a topic that wealth managers usually talk to you about. So I'm just putting the bee in your bonnet. So when you do talk to your, when you do get a wealth manager, that this is something you bring up. Folks, I want you safe. I want you to be the best that you can be, and I want you to have a project that goes worldwide and makes major positive changes in this world. You didn't get here by accident. You may not know what your humanitarian project is, but you didn't get here by accident. I believe that everybody is on a path put by God to change our world and make it wonderful. God bless you. What you're about to do. God bless the Patriots worldwide. Amen.